right, folks, welcome back once again to another edition of Locals to Legends Wrestling Radio. I'm your host, Gene Jackson. And, of course, as always, Locals to Legends Wrestling Radio is brought to you by WrestlingNewsCenter.com. And today I'm joined by a man who you may not have known his name a couple of weeks ago, but I'm pretty sure if you're in the Mid-South area, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, if you're on wrestling message boards or Wrestling News Center that I just mentioned, you've read the name Matt Justice. And Matt has started up his hashtag hand it over or take it over movement, and he's started a lot of talk from a lot of people. And I wanted to have him on the show today to let him kind of clarify his stance and talk a little bit about it. So, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Gene Jackson?
Doing great, man, doing great. Good to talk to you this morning.
Okay, I'm doing all right. Well, let me clarify what exactly does hand it over, take it over mean. A lot of people got the misconception that I just wanted the veterans or the guys who's wrestling now that have been around 15, you know, maybe 20 years, or maybe even the older guys. I just wanted them to give me a shot like I haven't earned one. That's not the concept. The whole concept is if most guys that's over their prime right now, you know, over 35 or maybe 40 years old, if you see younger talent and some guys that have passion, some guys that do it for a hobby. I'm one of those guys that I care about the business enough that I made myself the sacrificial lamb. That means I put myself on the line to say, look, I'm tired of other, you know, organizations outside the Mid-South, well-known names that have been in the business that came through the Mid-South, knocking the Mid-South. Everybody is not a kick punch, you know, like a kick punch person, you know, that go out and do interviews and entertain and come up with, you know, hee-haw gimmicks and, you know, just, you know, look at us like, okay, we can't go out and go. First of all, I want to introduce myself. I'm Matt Justice. I was trained by Nightmare Ken Wayne. If anybody pay attention that knows wrestling, Nightmare Ken Wayne, that was tagged with Danny Davis as the Nightmare, was a good wrestler and a good worker and was excellent in the ring, trained in every wrestling you can name. Ken Wayne would not let me, his son Eric, Kid Nichols, Greg King, and so off in the ring unless we were good. And I don't mean after 2 or 3 weeks or maybe about 4 or 5 months. I mean 9 to 10, 11 months. That means we was taking bumps, flatbacks, whatever you want to call it, duck walks, conditioning, before we even started locking up. And it was like 4 or 5 weeks. And Ken just wanted to get it. He just really wanted to weed out the trash to see, like, okay, who's going to actually make it? Who has the desire? So let me. I just want to clarify it with guys. If when guys thought I was knocking tradition, I wasn't knocking tradition. I was just trying to explain to them, like, really, I'm one of those guys that when I'm in a locker room, and I'm not saying all the boys, not all the TV guys that was on TV, or not all the guys who have promotions or the bookers. It's just a select few. When you train a guy for free, and next minute I know, after a couple of weeks, this guy's main event, your wrestling area, you know, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And not only in West Tennessee, but different areas, you know. So right. I didn't really appreciate it because I feel like I was one of those guys that, you know, bust my tail, you know, because I done wrestled in Texas, you know, Oklahoma, Illinois, you know, and all over the Mid-South and a couple of more places. So Ken started us out when we was like our first 1 or 2 years wrestling all over. And, you know, that's the part right there that kind of, you know, struck a nerve with me. And for these guys to say, well, he hasn't paid dues, everybody who has a child, Everybody who has to leave something to do something, pay dues. You know, I swear, like any other guy, they got in their ring, you know. So, you know, man, it, you know, but as far as the hand it over, take it over, the hand it over, take it over means once you hand me the ball, I'm going to take over this area. Not saying I'm going to go to each promotion and literally take it over. That means I'm going to perform the best that I can to keep it going. That's what hand it over, take it over means. But you had so many guys that was thinking, oh, he's going to come in here and he's going to take over my promotion. I'm not going to let that happen. But I had so many young guys, either older veterans, calling me, text messaging me, Facebooking me, tweeting me, banking me from all over the country. In 2 or 3 days, I promise you, I probably got over 400 or 500 messages.
Wow.
400 or 500 messages over 2 or 3 days, probably calls, well, I'm going to say call and messages from all over, saying, man, what you're doing is a good job, you know, and I think I was just the right person to voice my opinion, you know, Gene, and you know, I'm not a bad guy. I love the business just like everybody else, but I call it like I see it. And for a Pacific person to tell me that the internet does not make guys, he's crazy. Look at Ring of Honor. Look at CCW. Look at PWG. Look at Chikara. Look at AAW Illinois. These guys were made on the internet. Our internet is our TV in the 2010s. That's our TV. We don't have TV. But for the guys who had TV, you can have a name because you in 6,000, 7,000 homes every Saturday morning. So that was y'all marketing. Our marketing is TV. I mean, it's internet, my bad. It's internet. So, you know, Gene, for them to just down the younger talent like this, that's crazy. You know, especially the ones who want to be in the business. I'm not a backyarder. I don't have nothing against them. Only thing I can say to them, if you're not passionate about this business, get out or go get trained better, tan, and try to go to the next level. And that was my beef about the Mid-South area. That's what it was. You know, I was trying to uplift our area because I cared enough to I got tired of just, you know, sitting up watching it every single weekend, every single Friday or Thursday. Whenever days I rest, I would just sit back and look. And what I made a message on Facebook, I was telling them guys, I was like, look across the room. Tell me honestly, how many guys in their locker room supposed to be in their locker room? And most of the guys in the locker room are marks. They just want to call themselves wrestlers, go out, do the moves that I see on Monday Night Raw or Thursday Night Impact or Friday Night SmackDown, and then try to do it on Saturdays. And it's stupid, you know. And, man, I just got tired of it. I just got frustrated. But literally, I wasn't calling anybody out. I wasn't talking about no Pacific individual. I was just calling what I saw, and what I saw wasn't right, you know. And I'm not naming, it wasn't no particular name. It was just experiences that I experienced in Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, and wherever else I wrestled. It was just in the Mid-South area alone. Yeah, I really saw a lot of it going on, and I just got frustrated with it, you know.
So let me ask you this, because I think this is part of, maybe I'm just reading this into it, but I think this is part of what you're saying too. But I study all types of wrestling. I have my hand in all different types of wrestling from different regions of the country. And yeah. if you, for instance, if you contacted PWG in California, which is one of the hottest indie promotions in the world right now, even though most people in the Mid-South aren't connected to that, they don't realize that. They think there's nothing outside their little world in Tennessee and Mississippi and Alabama. But the fact is, that's one of the most sought-after indie spots there is right now. Indie wrestlers want to go to PWG. If you were to call them and you didn't have any footage to give them, you didn't have a picture, but if you were just to call them up and say, hey, I'm Matt Justice and I'm from the Mid-South and I want to come wrestle, Do you think them just hearing that you wrestle in the Mid-South, you're automatically given a stigma that he can't work this style? He's going to be a walk and talk. He's going to be a he pulled my hair, he pulled my tights guy. Do you think that's the stigma that most guys have from this area?
Yes, it's true. I mean, I hear it on podcasts. I see it on YouTube videos. I see it on, you know, shoot videos when guys talking about wrestling areas. Yeah, I see it. You know, I hear it. I mean, that's the stigma. Wherever, you know, wherever you go, if you say you're from the Mid-South, unless they actually seen you, that's the assumption that's given, you know.
Yeah, I see that a lot. And, I mean, you know, in some cases, my thing is, I know a lot of people, I've had an argument with people a lot in the past, and a lot of people said this about NEW back when it was going. I'm sure you may have heard this as well. Because a lot of people felt that NEW was bringing the Ring of Honor style of wrestling to the South. And most folks say that style doesn't get over. My opinion is, as both somebody who's in the business and as a fan who goes and sees shows various places, an entire show, an entire Ring of Honor style show in the South probably won't always get over. Now, I went to Ring of Honor in Nashville a few months ago, and the crowd was on their feet the whole night. And Nashville's as far south as you can get. But on your general little Saturday night Mid-South indie show that we're all familiar with, if you did a whole show of that style, no, they're probably going to shit on it. But at the same time, I think promoters need a better mix. Like, okay, yeah, you can have one or two of those style matches, and then maybe have one or two of the old school, you know, like say punch kick, he pulled my hair, he pulled my tights, he's got a chain match, but not a whole card full of them. You can't have a whole card full of Jerry Fargo's and the whatnots like that. But, you know, I don't know. But guys, there's just guys in this region that I think you're referring to, and not to call anybody by name, but they've been here forever. They've gotten comfortable. They do what they do every Saturday night in front of the same crowd. And the promoter wonders why the crowd doesn't get any bigger. It's because, well, they're seeing the same thing they've seen every weekend for how many years now? And I don't think it's really disrespectful for somebody like you to come along and say, hey, why don't you give me a chance to be in that main event? Why don't you give me a chance to show what I can do? Because you've already seen what this guy can do for the last 10 years. I mean, is that kind of the deal? I mean,
That was my whole point in case. You know, guys, I always wanted to compare when I say Ring of Honor or I say another company like PWG to Vince. I'm not comparing it to Vince. We was talking about the Mid-South indie area, or independence, because I hate the word indie, but the independence, and we was comparing Ring of Honor, PWG, Chikara. What I was saying is the guys who do know how to work, you know, work a crowd, can do the hair pulling and say this and this, quite frankly, I love it when I watch it. But it's to the untrained masses of guys who try to emulate and do the same thing that was untrained that goes after Brett. Look, first of all, they got AutoZone tape. They got Walmart gear. They got Dick's Sporting Goods singlets. They should not even be in the business, period. Then most of them, whatever other attire they wear, is disgusting to me because it's like you shitting on pro wrestling, the what I love. If you can't be man enough to go get you a pair of tights or trunks, you know, either, you know, pleather shorts, boots, kick pants, whatever you wear, but if you can't be man enough to look like a wrestler just all around. Let me give you a perfect example. Gene, you out with your wife. You say, okay, here goes a wrestling show. Independent Wrestling Federation, we just going to make up a name. And you looking at it, right? And you say, the main event, just going to make up two names, nobody that I know. Bucky versus Jonathan Michaels. Okay, we going to say them two names. You go out there. Bucky is 112 pounds. Jonathan is 150 pounds. None of them tan, couple of tattoos, some jeans and cowboy boots. This guy got on some shorts, some wrestling boots, and some tape. That's the main event. That's the champion. Would you want to watch it?
No.
Would you pay $10 of your hard-earned money to watch it?
No.
Okay, now, across the street, just say you have, okay, you got NEW. In the main event, you got me and Kid Nichols versus Eric Wayne and Greg King. All of us look like athletes. All of us have wrestling gear on. All of us know what we're doing. Would you want to pay $10 to see that?
Yeah, because you don't look like the guy that just got up out of the crowd, who more than likely was in the crowd 2 weeks ago, but you paid the promoter $400-$500, and now you're in the ring and you're in the main event. Or because you had
exactly.
a belt, you had a replica belt they could use, so now you're the champion.
Exactly, and that was my whole point. I mean, I rub guys the wrong way, you know, and to the guys that I rub, I really apologize. But it wasn't nothing personal towards you personally. I mean, any guy that I met in the locker room that I actually, you know, just gave me a chance or booked me on the show, I really apologize. They know who they are. You know, you can accept it or you can forget it. It don't really matter because I'm going to move on from this area regardless. But for the ones who bagged me and understand what I was doing, I thank you to all of y'all. You know, I had guys like Eric Wayne, Eric Hayes, some of these guys you might don't know, Frank Crime. I had a guy named Sal. You know, I had a guy named James Cantrell. I had Jason Bond. You know, even John Michaels. You know, he was down with, you know, Motley Crue, Ken Wayne, you know. Yeah, out of all, you know, out of everybody, what would Ken say? Ken was bagging me on, you know, Tojo Yamamoto Jr. You know, I had guys all over, you know, that were sitting up saying, dude, what are you doing? You know, what you doing? And I mean, it's a list, most of all, you know, he's down there in Gulfport, Mississippi, you know, the MOE. Kid Nichols, he's in Texas right now. A lot of guys that was in Texas. If you go on my Facebook, you can read a lot of messages from fans and wrestlers. They post that was bagging me. This ain't about me. This is not no movement, Gene. This is not no WWE thing where, you know, you think I got the whole world in my hands. None of this type stuff. I mean, I like what they're doing, but it's not none of this. This is real life. This is what's going on. This is a campaign to let people know, weed out the garbage. I don't believe if a guy 50 or 60 years old can beat a 20-year-old athletic grown man. I don't believe it. I won't believe it. I'm not talking about a 20-year-old punk. I'm talking about a 20-year-old athlete. I'm a real athlete, Dean. I wrestled in high school, football, basketball, track and field, baseball. I played every sport. You know, every sport. I'm a real athlete. I dibble-dabble in MMA, one of my friends, you know, he competes. So, you know, I go and train with him like on a Wednesday. But I'm not an MMA fighter. He just teach me different moves. We were trained in all types of style of wrestling. You know, Greco-Roman, catch as catch. You know, Ken Steele knows shoe hook style. He teaches little moves, but not everything, you know. You know, and all of, you know, some of the guys know amateur moves. If you won in amateur wrestling, then he will teach you, you know, sambo, jiu-jitsu, whatever it was, you know, we was trained in. And for some of these guys to sit up and say, you know, to message me and say, you really want to get in the ring with me, I would destroy them, like straight up, Jane. I would destroy. I'm not saying everybody. But to the guys that was, who I was looking at, like the two picks, that was honestly saying something to respond to me, like, dude, yeah. You just trying to change us, you trying to get us out the way. I'm not trying to get in the battle way. I'm trying to uplift my whole area. And somebody was saying, like, what if words get back to Dundee, or what if words get back to Jerry Lawler? I met Jerry Lawler and Dundee before early on in my career. And I got tons of autographs bound when I first started going to the Coliseum. But I met Jerry last week or two. I talked to Jerry, and it was about something else. But Jerry was one of the most laid-back, nice guys I ever met, you know, in the business, in his position. You know what? I think Lawler, if he heard both sides, he would be like, wow. I might don't agree with the kid doing. I mean, I'm just speaking. I might don't agree, but I respect him because he's speaking up. He knows what he wants. You know, he see the passion. He'll see the passion. Like, this kid wants it. I see that. And that's where the respect will come from. It ain't that all the veterans got to agree. And the hand it over, taking it over, it's not even about the veterans, period. It can be about shitty bookers that don't know how to book, don't know how to book talent, don't know how to be a talent, don't know how to create a guy. They want to put all these dumbass gimmicks on people and, you know, and think, okay, you put this gimmick on this guy and the crowd going to love him. But for how long until them guys get tired of those gimmicks? Then the crowd gonna be bored. When you target 5 to 12 year olds, maybe a couple of 20 year olds. I'm saying a couple of maybe 4 in the room. Yeah. Couple of 30 year olds, maybe 10. But your crowd is 50 to 80 years old. How much cheering you gonna hear? I'm just being for real. Like, kids gonna always be loud, but at the end of the day, kids gonna get tired at 3-hour shows. How long can these people keep up the noise? Now, if you go out and target the 18 through 35 crowd, like most independent, you know, the independent wrestling organizations are doing now, because these are the people that's on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever else. These are the people buying the merchandise. These are the people logging on. These are the people commenting. These are the people ordering the pay-per-views. And these are the people that's sponsoring the shows. You know, so that's the crowd I would want to target, period. Not saying I don't want kids or grandma and grandpa to come, of course, but it's the masses. It's 75% of their age group, 18 to 35, is the one that's sponsoring this new era of wrestling, pro wrestling. You know, and to me, people saying, well, Matt Justice, he's not traditional. If you look at all the wrestling territory, I mean, independent areas now and companies, Gene, don't you agree? Isn't it going back to the old NWA style, just probably a little more hard-hitting and quicker? You know,
yeah.
I mean, hard-hitting as far as strong style, hard-hitting, you know.
Right.
That's what people want to see. People don't want to see bullshit guys if they're not believable. If you're believable, keep doing what you're doing. Like, one thing I can say, me and Derrick King, we might have had our words, we might have had our confrontations on Facebook or face-to-face or locker rooms or whatever over this discussion, you know. But one thing I can say, Derrick King said at the end of the day, kid, I respect you, because even though you're not going to be able to change it by yourself, and I'm not trying to change, he said, I respect your attitude enough to speak up. That's one thing I can say he said to me, period. He said, kid, I respect you enough to speak up. I said, well, Derek, you know me. You wrestled me when I was younger, such and such. I'm a grown man. You know, I grew up in the business now, you know, far as how many years I've been in. I've been in the business 8 years, but I wrestled for 7. But he said he respect me. When Derek King, years ago, when I first broke in, and told me I'm going to be a skinny punk kid because I was 177 pounds. I had lost weight, you know, I hurt my knee, lost weight. So I started being comfortable. I was like, wow, I'm skilled, I'm athletic, I can do this and this. But I wasn't believable yet. When he told me that, I said, you know what? 2 years later, I gained weight. You know, I didn't take it as he was, oh, Derrick King is mean, he's mean. No, Derrick King was motivating me. I took what he said for motivation. I didn't take it as in, like, okay, he don't like me, this and this. No, I took it and I got bigger, you know. So over a 2-year span, I gained so much pounds, you know, amount of pounds. But like I say, he helped me. You know, a lot of guys helped me. But that right there, when the guy doubt me and say what I'm not going to do, what I ain't going to do, and I'm not going to ever do nothing, that's motivation. Why don't these guys have that same passion I have, you know? Why don't these guys want to see a better product? I don't know what I'm doing, but I look at every place that I come past, and it's the same crowd, you know, 100 people, 50, 60 people. Are you serious? I mean, some shows do pack at certain different times. It might be show 300, 400. But at the same time, that's every now and then. That's not every Saturday, you know. So how come you can't change it up? And that's all I'm saying. Dude, don't let the Mid-South die. You know, and I mean die as in the craft, as the believability, as in you training these guys right, the guys who wants to be something, help those guys, you know, help these guys. Don't let them, when you retire or you leave a business and you hand it off to somebody else and you look at the guy and be like, man, I wish I never did it. Dang, we should have listened to Matt. I mean, there are some good guys out there. Don't get me wrong. Some of the guys, dude, I love like brothers. You know, don't get me wrong, but some of them just don't have a clue. They're not looking past 10 miles or 30 miles past their area or town. They're not looking like that. You know, they're not thinking about it's a whole nother horizon, you know. So, Gene, that's my point of view. I love the business. I'm passionate. Dear Gardner wrote the same thing. He said, well, Matt Justice have the Shawn Michaels attitudes. A couple of guys said, man, you got you starting the shoot videos and stuff like, you know, kind of like CM Punk. You like a CM Punk. You a revolutionary. I said, no, I'm not an activist. Man, this not for me. This for everybody. This for everybody, whoever laced up a pair of boots, put on some kick pads or whatever they did, trunks, tight shorts, whatever, singlets. I just want to see better, you know. Why not try something new when you see the same thing is not working anymore? You know, quit letting these marks in the business. Have some passion. I know it's a money-driven business, but what happened to the secrecy? What happened to the brotherhood? It should be like a bike club. You need to go through initiation. Stop making your training free. Stop making your training like a couple of $100. Let's see if a guy really, really want to be a wrestler. Let's see if a guy really want to be a wrestler. Quit making them get in the ring right off top. Quit making them lock up or do a body slam the first week or so. Put their ass through some grit, grind, conditioning, and see and weed out all the weak ones. That's what we went through. So for a guy to say, Matt Justice and Eric Wayne, all those guys, they ain't paying no dues. Let me tell you something, in the wrestling business, you pay dues for the rest of your life. Because every time you bump, slam, hit, jump, kick, whatever you're doing, you're paying for it with your body. You're paying for it when you have to leave your family. You're paying for it with your stability. So guys need to understand, quit saying who hasn't paid dues. Because all the major guys that came through our building that wanted to train couldn't hang, Gene. Couldn't hang. It might have been about a couple. Couldn't hang with us. Because their condition was shitty. Couldn't hang, Gene. I seen it firsthand. And some of the same guys, we was helping train them, getting them ready when they went to the next level. Helping them. I mean, and no disrespect to them. They're my boys. I like some of them. But I'm talking about some of the guys who came through there and thought they was big shots. We showed them otherwise. And what, we was 1-2 years in the business.
Yeah.
It ain't how long you've been in the business, who you've been around. When you be around people that made a living, actually going travel here, there, and then their friends come down to help you. Like Ken has brought numerous of guys. You know, like when we met Rick and Morty, you know, wow, I grew up my favorite tag team the whole time when I first met him. Then Dr. Tom Pritchard, you know, Bobby Eaton now, beautiful Bobby Eaton. Beautiful Bobby Eaton loved me so much when I was doing the whole Kobe Bryant thing. Just, you know, talking about going to meet Kobe. I mean, that little, you know, because everybody knows what Bobby Eaton been going through. You know, how about one of the guys I idolized as a kid, you know, now looking at me and saying, wow, I like this kid. This kid, he can entertain, and he can wrestle, and he got the look. You know, so, I mean, that meant a lot to me. So for people to think I'm just, you know, I was talking about the veterans, it never had nothing to do with ill veterans. People get, when I was talking about old school, I was saying as far as a new tradition of wrestling. Okay, perfect example. AWA, the Road Warriors, went out and they went against Crushing Bruiser, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crushing Bruiser. You can watch it. Anybody got WWE Network? Watch the tag team era. They said, "Well, kids, we're not gonna go and get pressed over our head." Animal Hawk said, "Okay, we're not gonna do it." Went out there, exactly, pressed them over the head. Said, "Fuck your tradition." I'm not saying fuck tradition, but they knew what was going on. You couldn't see 2 60-year-old men beating these fucking honking animals at 25, 26, and they look like fucking monsters. Are you serious? And Crushing Bruiser wasn't small men. You know, they wasn't small men. But, I mean, look at it. Are you serious? You know, no. So.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that gets me now. Like, for instance. Well, let me preface this by saying I love Jerry Lawler. I have nothing but respect for Jerry Lawler. I was his biggest fan as a kid. I have huge respect for everything he's done for the business. But for the love of God, hell in 2014 when he won a Southern Classic tournament over guys like Eric Wayne, Dustin Starr, I mean,
yeah.
Why? What does that add to his legacy? Does him winning that tournament add anything to his legacy at all? Yet had Eric or Dustin or any of them young guys won a tournament that involved Jerry Lawler or Brian Christopher, what could that have done for their reputation? What could that have done for their legacy? Why have at 60, nearly 60 years old, why is he winning stuff like that? But to me, that is where, and you can tell me if you agree with this or not, I don't know. I think there's two main problems with Mid-South. Problem number one, is any asshole that can afford to buy or rent a ring can be a promoter. They don't have to have any knowledge of the business. They don't have to have any experience, anything. If they can afford a ring, they can promote a show. Well, what's their first thing? They probably have no budget, so they're going to put anybody that will come work for free, which is all these clowns that you were just talking about. They're not trained. They don't have gear. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And that's half the show.
Exactly.
They pull out just enough money to book a couple of names to throw in the main event to get the crowd there. But the crowd's there, and okay, all right, we're here to see Dundee and Lawler or Buff Bagwell or whoever the name is they book. But they sit through all this crap to get there, and they think that's what wrestling is now.
Yeah.
Now, the other big problem, I think, they did not make any stars on TV in the last 15 years. I mean, you look back, when did Lawler and Dundee, and not to rip on those guys, but when did those guys use their fame? You know, Jerry Lawler got famous because Jackie Fargo put him over, made him the king. You know, when did he ever do that for anybody? I mean, they kept beating these guys on TV, and the only names to come out of Memphis in the last 15 years was Derek, who never really got the push he deserved. I mean, he was always on TV, but they didn't really give him the push he could have had. Kevin White, Dustin Starr.
Yep.
And that's about it. There's really not a lot of other guys that got used to any significance on TV, so there were no stars made. That's why in 2014 you still have to book Lawler and Dundee and Coco, because they never made any new stars to replace them.
Exactly, and that was my whole argument before me and Derek ever exchanged words, I said, Derek, you bust your ass in this business, and I'm not taking it from you. I'm not. You never got the torch handed to you or passed to you. And I'm not saying that you need it. But at the same time, as of right now in the West Tennessee area and Mid-South and well, certain parts, you're the man, you know, as far as people know you, people respect you in the locker room, people know you went to OVW and helped train, you know, Cena and Brock and Randy and those other guys. You're the man. So I don't know if Derrick King felt like, honestly, I was coming for his position, because really and truthfully, Derrick, I look past you. No disrespect, but I do. I look past Derrick King, you know. No disrespect to Dustin Starr, you know. I look past Dustin Starr because they actually moved to, you know, to development of WWE. They went to those places, you know, and whatever reason happened, you know, they got either fired or they left. For, you know, numerous reasons, I don't know. But these are the same guys that told me, Key, you got every, you know, every skill or look that they need for you to go to WWE. You say you got the size, you're 6'3", you're 225 pounds, you can talk, you can wrestle, you have charisma, and you have a presence about you when you be in the locker room or when you talking on the mic or whenever we doing a promo or interview or whatever, you demand attention when you in the room. And I said, thank you. But these are the same guys I watched on TV and wonder why, you know, then these guys get their, you know, they're just due, you know. Like the Allen Steels. Allen, you know, big guy. Why he didn't go to WWE? You know. And I'm looking at him. Golden Boy. Greg Anthony. Not taking nothing away from Greg Anthony. Is a genius when it comes to psychology in the ring. In and out the ring. Why you couldn't use him on creative? You know. Austin Lane. Oh, my God. Austin Lane. When I first saw Austin Lane, I thought he was the biggest jerk in the business. And I don't mean white. I mean as his character. I said, wow, he's a Chris Jericho. You know, when I first met him, I said, wow, this guy's kind of cool. You know, because I'm strictly looking at his character. You know, I was younger when I was watching him wrestle. I said, wow, this guy's a jerk. You know, such and such, such and such. Man, when I finally got in the business and met him, and he was so believable at the character he was portraying that I actually thought that was him. And then when I met him, he was so cool, laid back, down to earth, and one of the best effing workers I ever seen in my life. I told him numerous of times, I compared him to the Mid-South Shawn Michaels, the version of Shawn Michaels, because when Austin gets in the ring, dude, you paying attention. And I give him that credit. And he was trained by Motley Crue, which Motley Crue trained a lot of guys. And another guy that I just now wrestle around this area, Chris Lex. Chris Lex got all the talent in the world. Got all the talent in the world. Why haven't this guy got his just do his push? You know, Chris Lex is like a Eddie Guerrero to me. Super crazy, mixed together. You know, the guy got it. Why haven't he been moved up? You know, my friend, Darius Lee, tattoo. Great body. I mean, when he hits the crowd, he's just like another Rey Mysterio. You know, he has the same babyface aura like Rey Mysterio mixed with AJ Styles put all together. Why hasn't he got that main push, you know, around the area? Another guy I know, Bishop Cage, big, strong guy. Bishop could have dominated the wrestling scene for the last 10 years. around the Mid-South area. How come he hasn't got that push? Poker face, mean, dirty, man, just would beat the heck out of you in the ring. How come he hasn't got it? You know, it's a lot of guys, just like John Michaels. John Michaels is a keen man to wrestling. I mean, we talk all day. We don't talk about moves. We talk about the business in general.
Let me ask you a question here. With all the guys, all the guys you just named, and I know, I mean, your goal is to get to WWE, right? I mean, you're a wrestler. That's what you want to do, right?
Exactly.
So all those guys you just named, and let's name another name that you're very familiar with, Kevin Nichols.
Okay.
Kevin Nichols has the size. He developed a very unique look over his time in NEW. He can work. You know he's been trained right. You know, he trained him in every style there is. He's got, let's say, a unique look. He's got an it factor about him. That's why he got signed. He goes and spends the amount of time he spent down there, and he gets released. Is that depressing to you to say, hey, if they couldn't do something with Kevin, what are they going to do with the rest of us? What is wrong with them if they can't make something of him? If they can't make something of him, what, you know, no wonder all these other guys haven't been there. Does that kind of, I don't know, does that kind of bring you down a little bit and make you wonder, you know, if this is even worth pursuing?
You weigh out your options. I mean, you always think about the obvious. I mean, either they can, you know, have you sign you, release you, or they can make you. My thing is, I don't worry about it. If I get there, I'm gonna make a statement. Whether it's they put a gimmick on me or in their ring, it's either two. And if they release me, oh well, I will go to New Japan. I will call Bruce Stark. I will call the NWA. I will go there, whatever. But I'm not going to sit around and cry about it. You know, not saying that any one of those guys did. I'm just saying other people that, you know, I done read on, you know, news sites or newsletters, you know, wrestling news sites. You know, I'm not going to whine about it. I'm going to go do something else about it. And then they're going to notice, like, wow. Or I'm going to go call, you know, go to GWF, go to TNA. I'm going to go somewhere, you know. But I'm not going to sit up and waste my time thinking, wow, why they didn't, you know, sign me, why they cut me loose, you know. And that's my biggest thing. I just got one of those minds. Either way it goes, I'm going to make it. Only one person on this world can stop me, and that's you. That's me. I can stop me. Like you, Gene. When you wanted to do a radio show or whatever, only person to stop you or make excuses is you. When I got God backing me, I don't see nothing in my way. I really don't. I don't see nothing in my way. I done argued with my own trainer, and it's like a father and son argument. And I would say the same thing to him, but you know what? Ken respect me more because he see now that I put in the effort, you know, to do what I need to do, you know. But a long time ago, he used to tell us, y'all got to hit the gym. You got to do this. You got to keep working out. You got to keep training. You know, some of us was hard-headed. Some of us listened, you know. But at the end of the day, he was always ultimately right. And you know, a lot of guys, and this is what guys think, oh, Ken Wayne brainwashes you. He do it. Ken don't. You got a choice regardless. If you a grown man, can't nobody brainwash you. Ken, if Ken can't brainwash Eric Wayne, then how can he brainwash somebody else? You know, and I hate to hear that. Ken will help anybody, but at the same day, it's all about you making the dollar. But I can say one thing. I paid $3,000, and I got more than it. You know what I'm saying? For $3,000. When I hear other guys say they paid $2,500, $1,500, and I say, well, what did you learn? Or I get in the ring with them. I'll be like, wow, you got robbed. You know, you just spent some hard-earned money, and you didn't learn everything, but I'm not mad at the guy. I'm mad at the guy who trained them. And there is a lot of guys that's taking money. You know, just taking money around the area and, you know, screwing over guys. Why would you want to do that, man? That can lead to psychological damage because he's looking at you as a role model. And for you to screw him over his money, you don't never know what a man does to earn his money. I learned it. You know, my dad told me that. I learned it. And, you know, Gene, I done went through so much this year. I lost my mother January the 8th of this year. She passed on. She went to glory. She was battling a deadly cancer she had in her spine for 12 years. That's the strongest person I ever met in my life. To sit up knowing that the doctors gave you a year to live in 2002. 2003, she wasn't even supposed to be, you know, on earth, but she survived to 2014. And I'm going to tell you something. Through that inspiration right there, in the way that she guided me over these years and told me, son, don't never let nothing stop you. For me, for my three children that I love so much, that's my inspiration. And to my brother. My brother, me, I'm living out our dream. He told me this the other day. He said, make it because you're living out our dream. I can't physically do what you can do. But he said, bro, make it for us. Make it for mom. Make it for your children. Make it for the family. Dude, it's just not about me. It's not about me, period. I'm making it for the guys who can't live out our dream. To Byron Wilcox, I met him. Great, great dude. Great, great dude. I have all respect in the world for him. So Carson Houston and his girlfriend, great couple. I met them in Arkansas. I just messaged him and on Facebook, and he was putting up that he had a NWA World title match. But I seen him in different locker rooms bust his tail, you know. And I like to see that payoff at the end of the day. Because he's not one of those, both of them are not one of those people that gets in the wrestling business, don't tan or don't work out or don't have professional looking gear, looks the part, want to be better, want to learn, want to travel, will drive $500 miles for X amount of dollars just to break even, just to make a name for themselves and not 10 miles up the road past the local Walmart. You know, that's what it takes to make it when you want to make it in this business, you know. So, man, me and a couple of more guys, we're hitting the road in the summer, you know. I after the buzz I just got and so many guys I connected with through the independent area, I got to leave, Gene. You know, I got to make a run and run with it, you know. So, I mean, I love the Mid-South, but the Mid-South need to wake up. It's not the 1980s. It's not the early 90s. It's not the 70s. It's 2010. Look what you're putting in the seats. If you're a real booker or if you're a real promoter, look at your crowd. Go on TV, pull a Ring of Honor, PWG, AAW Illinois, or any other company, Chikara, you telling me that these companies sucks. And just look at the crowd. Look at the marketing. Look at the buzz. Look at each one of those guys working like 3 out of 4 of those shows. You're going to see the same name, the Kevin Steen, you know, the Young Bucks that's in New Japan right now. You know, you're going to see Adam Cole. You're going to see all these guys, ACH. You're going to see these guys making a name, you know. And if like I told Jerry King, if Ring of Honor is not the top indie company right now, how come you see if WWE stars go there to ref, like the Hoss and Benjamin, Mike Mondo? You know what I'm saying? You got all these guys, Matt Hardy. You got all these guys coming back to wrestle at their main venue.
Yeah. Well, look at how many people are on Raw every Monday night that came from Ring of Honor. I mean, right now you got Bryan Danielson, Cesaro, Seth Rollins, you know, all these guys, Luke Harper,
exactly.
All passed through Ring of Honor, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And that was my biggest argument. And, you know, like Derek said, he told me, he said, well, Daniel Bryant, he came through Memphis. He was American Dream. Didn't nobody know who he was, though.
Bryant would have stayed in Memphis, he'd be wrestling over there in Dyersburg every Saturday night like everybody else. Memphis has little to do with the success of Daniel Bryan.
Exactly, or in Mississippi or somewhere in Arkansas or wherever he would be wrestling. He wouldn't have went nowhere, you know. But he had
the attitude. You know, you said you guys are hitting the road this summer. I mean, that's what it's going to take. Cause it don't matter if you're in the first match or the main event on these smaller shows. I mean, to get somewhere, you got to get out there and be seen, you know, and
exactly.
have your name pop up from a million different directions, you know.
Exactly, and a guy messaged me, and he said, that's the same thing Cole Cabana and Sam Punk did. I said, exactly. You know, if anybody that I know loves the business, you know, and I travel with, you know, a couple of guys up and down the road, but one guy that I know that even though he marks out a lot, and I love the little guy that's MOE, DJ Spiegel. I mean, this guy right here, I know he loves it. Sometimes we got to calm him down, though. But that's one guy that I know will bump his ass off and make sure. I mean, even though he still got to work on his craft, everybody does. You know, everybody does. But that's one guy that I know, if I went to battle with, that he'll be standing beside me. One guy like Kevin Nichols, as everybody knows right here, Big Kid Nichols, he would do it. You know, these are the guys I'm talking about that would stand right side by side. Eric Wayne, you know, he would come right there. You know, he would be right hand-to-hand with me. You know, but, you know, Gene, I just don't see the South, you know, the Mid-South area, you know, as making guys now. You know, and I hate it for a lot of talent. I hate it for the guys who did make it that's already, you know, most established around here. And I hate it for the guys who's coming up that's not going to get established because they don't know how to market themselves like this. You know, they're not going to expand out of West Tennessee or go to Dyersburg or Jonesburg or, you know, or Mississippi or wherever. They're going to stay in the same area. Not knowing that you need to venture out somewhere else where the market is bigger, where you would get noticed, where you would get seen, you know, and get your total look together. You know, if a promoter put a gimmick on you, look at that gimmick. Every night if you go out, if you say you're getting a lot of pops and cheers at this one town, go to another town. See how people respond to you. Go to another town. See how people respond to you. If you only getting pops and cheers in that one town, then, man, you need to take this shit off and quit making a fucking ass out of yourself and the joke and quit being fucking lazy and get your ass in the gym. And I'm not saying look like fucking Hulk Hogan or Randy Orton or John Cena, but look at Daniel Bryan. You can tell he go to the gym. I mean, he was in shape before. Look at Punk. Punk was bigger, but he wasn't as real. But I'm saying it just looked apart. Just looked apart. Just make it believable when people look at you. Man, dude, I was looking at a Mid-South company around here. Two guys looked like they was 110 pounds was the champions. I said, really? And one of my friends told me, you ought to go there around for the champion. And I said, for what? You know. And I was just being honest, for what? You know, why would I want to go wrestle this guy? For what? I mean, you can make this, you can make that. Look at this guy. I'm going to be real with you. He's not making me any better, so why would I want to be in the ring with him? Look at him. He don't even believe he's that good, because if he did, he want to look the part. I mean, everybody got to start out, but I've seen these same guys for 6 or 7 years. So, no. I'd rather wrestle the Derrick Kings, the John Michaels, the Greg Anthony's, the Adam Steeles, the Poker Faces, the Dustin Stars, you know, the Motley Crues, the Chris Licks, the, you know, Kid Nichols, all those guys, the Eric Waynes. I would rather wrestle those guys because they looked the part, the Austin Lane. I would rather wrestle those guys because they looked the part, you know. Unless you got a booming, look, I'm going to tell you something too. I don't know all the tag teams around here, so don't get mad at me. But it's two tag teams that gimmick works that I met. Well, like, I'm going to say a couple that I know off the top of my head. The Posse, Simon and Lil' Chris. And I'm going to tell you why. Simon is the small one. I mean, Simon is the big one. Lil' Chris is the small one. Okay. Lil' Chris don't have to be 180 pounds ripped up. Simon don't have to be 250 pounds ripped up. The Posse work for them. They skateboarders, you know. But they have all the they the fan favorites. But it works for them because it's like a compliment, you know. When you see them, it's a they compliment each other. Just like the L.A. Hustlers. You got a big guy, as in Bradley, then you got the little guy, as in Lamont. They complement each other. They work. So whenever these two teams work against each other, it works. Just like P.K. Ripper and Hero versus the Devil Rejects. It works. If you look at them, that team chemistry works between all four of those guys. You know, I don't know every tag team, so, you know, don't get mad at me. When I don't name you, I just don't. I'm just saying the guys I done ran across, you know. But it helps
you. Gotta
you
have a look. You got to look like a wrestler. I mean, you don't everybody have to look like a bodybuilder, but back in the day,
exactly.
The guys that weren't bodybuilders still looked like a wrestler. They didn't look like some skinny kid out of the crowd. I mean, they stood out. They had something about them, you know, that made them stand out.
Exactly, and that's my whole ordeal. Look at yourself in the mirror. If you look like you belong in the crowd, most likely you do. And another point, these older veterans, and I'm not talking about the guys who went to WWE or wrestling in WCW or wrestling in other places and territories. I'm talking about we had a good discussion. What's a veteran to you? A veteran to me is not a guy who's been around 30 years and haven't absolutely did shit. He's just a guy that's been around, and that's all he did, just hung around. And for people to say, oh, he's a veteran, fuck that, he's not a fucking veteran to me. I done met veterans. I'm not saying everybody has to be on TV. I'm not saying it. But you had to make some kind of statement in the wrestling world, period, or at least attempted to. But for guys just to say they've been around for 15 years, not 2015, but for 25, 30 years, and he's a bit, respect him, this and that. It's not disrespect, because I go in the locker room and shake everybody's hand. It'd be those main guys or so-called veterans or so-called wannabe superstar young guys that come in, don't shake everybody's hand or don't greet everybody or at least acknowledge you. You know, anybody been locker room, me know I go around and meet and greet anybody. I don't care if the conversation 1 second. How you doing? How you doing? Mad Justice, how you doing? Because I was taught that way, not by Ken Wayne, but by my mom and father. I was taught that way. Period. So I don't disrespect veterans. I don't disrespect the boys. But to me, sometimes the boys and the veterans disrespect the business. To me. Not everybody, but some of them. Because by letting these fucking marks and punk kids or guys that you know that with jeans and cutout shirts and bullshit come in the ring knowing that they only doing this for a fucking weekend hobby need to get the fuck out the business and out the way. Because anywhere else you go in Texas or Illinois or Pennsylvania or New York or Ohio or California, they would eat your ass alive in the fucking ring. And I hate this shit. I really do. And it fucking pissed me off. I'm about to make another video, Gene.
And when you refer to those veterans, you're referring to these guys that we all know that have been in the business 25 years, and they're not a damn bit better than the first time they ever set foot in the ring. And
how can you
be in the business that long and never get any better? But they exist by the hundreds.
Yeah. And everybody want to say, oh, you're knocking the guy. I'm not knocking the guy. They knocking the business. Because that's disrespectful. That should be disrespectful for you. Not because you're trying to pay this guy a couple of dollars to come in. That should be disrespectful to you to let this guy say he's a fucking pro wrestler in your area. That's how come I know most people have not traveled out this fucking area, because if you did, people would laugh in your fucking face if you say you're from the Mid-South and you don't know how to fucking work or talk. They will fucking laugh at you in your fucking face. You know why? Because I done seen the same dumbasses in different towns or out of town so happy to run into them, and they'll be talking and go out there doing their match, and we'll be standing there, you know, me and the boys will be looking, they'll be like, oh, this guy fucking suck. They'll be like, oh, this guy suck. You know him? No, I wasn't trained with him. I didn't train with him. And I'm not saying my training is the best. Plenty of good trainers out here. But goddamn, guys, do your research. And this is mainly for the young ones. Do your fucking research. God damn. I mean, I just don't understand. This same shit Ken is saying. Damn it. You know. Hell, man. I want to make it in this business. I don't want to be sidelined for 15 to 20, 30 years. I don't. I want to make a name. By any means necessary, I got to make a name. But I'm not going to deprive myself. I'm not going to take a shortcut. I'm going to do it the way that I was taught to do it, straightforward. You know, Gene, I just don't understand, you know, why guys don't have passion about it, because you can have a great fucking life in this business. I mean, the business ain't all what it cut out to be when you actually get in it. You know, you got some ups and down times. You got some messed up situations that would occur. But at the same time, it can be what you make out of it, you know. I just don't understand. Like, that's why all these fucking marks and fanboys need to get the fuck out the business. Because they ruined it. It's no secrecy. You know, you just beat the shit out of this guy. Yet, y'all at Walgreens and the little boy who saw y'all fighting each other, y'all standing right next to each other together. Really?
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid. You know, or y'all sitting at a restaurant right across from each other, and this family from out of town just came to see y'all wrestle or stop through to visit their relatives and came to a wrestling show, and they see you dumbasses. Like, really? Damn, you know, that's fucking stupid. That's why I don't understand you guys. I mean, I thank God every day for my life, my well-being, for the people who helped me in my life, and for my trainer, because I was glad I ran across a guy who was a perfectionist in the ring. And look, and let me make this point too clear. For the guys who say they've been around the business, and this is not for the ones who actually got a name or made it around them, for these other guys who say, I've been around 15, 20 years, and they be telling me this shit. What the fuck does that mean to me? First of all, you're not better than me. You don't have a better look than me. You don't have more knowledge than me than wrestling. They can't none of them tell me when fucking pro wrestling actually started in France, you dumb fucks, in the 1830s. So, When you do your research, go look it up. And see, a lot of you guys will sit up and talk and say, no, it started here. No, it started as a traveling circus, like a carnival, in the 1830s. So you dumb fucks, and then you can go back farther than it. You know, back in the 710 B.C., you know. And that's why I say they don't understand. When I say wrestling, Gene, I mean every aspect of it. I read every aspect of wrestling. That's why I say that some of these guys, they just say they know something just because they've been around. But what have you learned how to have a rat, a female groupie, for guys who don't know, you know, to say you work for all your best friends or this promoter or this guy within a 50-mile radius, and you a veteran? What the fuck have you done? They can say, well, what have you done? I've been more places than you, son of a gun. I'm talked about more than you ever got talked about. I had the last buzz in the last 15 to 20 years to spark up the Mid-South area than any one of you motherfuckers. Do your research. We don't have TV. How you going to get a buzz? The fucking internet. Thank you, dear King. My point exactly, Gene.
You know. Well, you know, I mean, you've gotten a lot of support. You said, you know, you've had a lot of positive response, but obviously you're going to get a lot, you know, when you speak out like this, you're going to ruffle some feathers. You're going to get some negative response. It may cost you a few bookings here and there. There may be a few people not wanting to work with you, but in the big scheme of things, I mean, do you think the positive outweigh the negative?
It does. It does, because you know why? Okay, perfect example. Analogy. Let's make this. This is a perfect analogy. Okay, say you a football coach, right?
Right.
Your team down 10 points or whatever, seven points, whatever. Your team down. Now we're gonna say 6 points, your team down. You need a touchdown and you need to make the field goal. 6 points. We're gonna say 6 points down. What would you tell your team? Are you gonna say, good job, guys, y'all are doing a wonderful job. Just make sure you don't make these guys mad and you make friends and just try to score. What the fuck is your team gonna look at you? Are you fucking crazy? What's wrong with you? Any coach would say, you dumb motherfucker, y'all, can y'all win it? Are y'all really mean? What are y'all gonna do? He gonna say, I don't think y'all can win. I don't think y'all really can win. Because y'all playing like a bunch of girls. Y'all don't want to win. And then it's for the quarterback or whoever the captain is to be like, look, we finna go out there. We finna make this touchdown. And then we gonna kick this field goal. We finna ring. Hoorah, hoorah, whatever they do. That's what I was trying to do. That's why I use the TV guys as just a platform, because I worked those guys. I didn't work Jerry Lawler Dundee. I wasn't, you know, around during their time, you know. So I was working the boys that I have worked, but I wasn't really meeting them as in using guys before me to use that as a platform for the whole area, period. Just motivation. So when I was texting, I said all the companies, I was saying the companies, as far as giving the companies motivation, giving them publicity, saying this and this, so when people all around would pay attention, they was like, well, let's see what's going to happen at this next show. Let's see if Matt Justice and the hashtag hand it over, take it over, people going to come here. Let's see if this going to be a better product this Saturday or Friday or Sunday. Let's see what the promoters and the boys going to do. What, you know, let's see the excitement. Let's see, you know, let's see what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't
know. I lost there for a second. It got real quiet. But, you know, there's a lot of people who were surprised. The couple people I told I was going to have you on the show was surprised I was having you on. I know when I announced it, there's going to be some people that's even going to give me some crap about it. You know, I'm as old school as they come. You know, one of my very best friends in the business is a guy that works as a megastar Memphis Monroe, and you know his whole gimmick is he's old school, and he wears the old school gear and all that. It works for him, and he's getting over with it. But at the same time, anytime somebody speaks out, tries to do something different, tries to go against the norm of just the same old that everybody around here is doing. I take an interest in it, and whether you offended some people and whether you stepped on some toes or whatever the case may be, the fact is you spoke out for wrestling in the whole area, And people may say, well, it's just a ploy for you to get yourself over. Well, whatever. It sparked a lot of discussion, and it got a lot of people talking. And that's more than you can do. Any one show you could have went and had a five-star match on throughout the Mid-South would not have got you the same response, the same feedback, the same attention that what you've done here on social media has done. So, again, like you were just saying, you can't really argue with it. You know, even if you were on a TV show, one of these local television stations, you still have garnered more attention for yourself through what you've done in this last 2 weeks than most people can just going out working a show. And as long as you can spin that into something positive, I think it's a good thing. And I wanted to give you a forum to get on here and explain. And I think a lot of people who may have been pissed off before, if they've listened to you throughout the show, I mean, obviously some of the guys that you're knocking, they're going to be upset, but those guys need to be upset because they need to get the hell out of the business. But the people who are veterans, legitimate veterans, people that you do respect who may have initially mistook what you were trying to say, I think may have a better understanding, and hopefully this show's good for everybody.
Exactly, and that's the only thing. Like, I had a hashtag, no apology needed, and the thing that I meant by that was no apology needed toward the guys who I'm really directing it toward. But the guys who I'm not, you know, I mean, I really do apologize. I mean, I made some close, good friends, and I don't want them to take it a certain way. But I will be doing a couple of shows. I will be doing a show in South Haven for SGWA, ran by Mr. Bill Dundee and Cross. That will be this Friday, and then I will be doing LAW. That's my main state, ran by, you know, the Hayes family, Mr. and, you know, Mrs. Hayes, LAW Newber, and then MEW. I will be doing the show on the June the 6th and should be June the 20th. And everybody just come out and... but I've been getting, like I say, bookings in Kentucky, Texas, St. Louis, Georgia, North Carolina. You know, guys been calling me, you know, like up in certain parts of Tennessee, toward like the Chattanooga, Nashville area, such and such, you know, and just, you know, bookers and promoters just been calling and, you know, want me to come and, you know, they built this as a movement, you know, the hashtag, hand it over, take it out. It wasn't a movement, you know. I'm not trying to jump on Daniel Bryan whole thing. You know, that guy, he's bust his tail in his business for years, and I'm not riding his coattail. I congratulate him because he deserves it, you know. But for guys to say, well, man, he don't deserve it. These young guys, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how I train. You don't know how many times I hit the road. Just because I didn't have a name in West Tennessee don't mean I didn't have a name somewhere else, you know. And that's what a lot of things, you know, and that's what a lot of guys think. Just because, you know, Kid Nichols or Eric Wayne wrestled up in West Tennessee, I was wrestling somewhere else. So I built the name in other parts. Then when I came there, I was trying to, you know, establish a name also up there. I mean, guys knew me, but everybody didn't know me like those guys. And for, you know, a certain individual to say, well, you are never surpassed Kid Nichols and Eric Wayne, truthfully, I just did. You know, as far as this area, because look at the names. Look, everybody know my name. Where is it good or bad? You know, and they're my boys. They're my close friends. And I'm not saying we're not talking about that Kid went to WWE and people know him down there. We're not talking. We're talking about in this area as of right now. I just did. So to that guy, as in the famous words of Shane Douglas, and he know who he is, kiss my ass, you know. And that's for real, Gene. Because I don't ever disrespect veterans. I don't ever come out and say something to them. I always shake their hand before somebody say something to me. And truthfully, to that guy, if it weren't for your partner, you wouldn't have been up north. And he should know who I am. You know, he should know who I'm talking to. You would have never been up there.
I just mentioned it for me.
So as soon as the attitude era began, your ass was back home, right? So screw you, you know. The hell, you know, I'm not going to let nobody sit up and just down my name. No, hell no, you know. I'm a fucking grown man. At the same time, you going to respect me, I'm going to respect you, you know. I can see if I just came into business, you know, this is my first year or something, and I'm still wet up under the, the chin and shit, like they say, and nose and all that. Hell no. Dude, I've been around 8 years. You know, that might not mean nothing to a lot of guys, but I've been around a good 8 years around the right people. To me, sometimes it doesn't really matter how long you've been around, it's who you've been around. You know, and that's what me and John Michaels discussed last night. He was trained by the Hearts. I was trained by Ken Wayne. Ken Wayne went to train with the Hearts. He done been in the ring with Lou Thesz. He done been in the ring with numerous, amount of legends. Not so much as training with them one-on-one, but depicting each little thing that he learned from them and putting it together and making a outstanding training resume, you know. So, Gene, finna plug the school. If anybody out there that want to be trained, be a professional, learn the ins and outs of the wrestling ring, the wrestling world, to learn how to dress in the locker room, learn how to conduct themselves, and learn how to conduct themselves on the road, learn how to referee, manager, valet, be a wrestler, learn how to work audio, learn how to work TV. Call 901-831-4198.
There you go. And, hey, for the people who think that the Lucha Libre and the high flying style and all that came in 97 with Rey Mysterio and Psychosis and those guys, I was watching Ken Wayne in Columbus, Mississippi doing 619s and dives off of the floor in 1987. So
exactly.
Ken Wayne was way ahead of his time in this business.
In 47, he was still doing the 619 for people, you know, who call it now. Tattoo calls the 901. But, for people in this area. But, yeah, Ken was doing it at 47, 48, training us, showing us how to do it, you know. And that's why I say when you train in versatile styles, people don't understand, honestly, how good – you know, me, Eric Kidd, you know, Greg King, and the other guys who came out to school, honestly, is the ones who really took time. And why I say us four, mainly because Ken was in the ring with us more, showing us the correct way to do knuckle lock, showing us the right way to position the guy in the ring or control the guy, learn how to control the guy or move a guy to position him right in certain aspects or certain locks or certain holds. People don't get that type of training unless you've been trained by a guy that's been around the mold hoop shoot specialist. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't been trained or if you ain't been around one of those guys that actually taught you that, because can't nobody teach you that. You got to be around some guy that actually learned that. And you don't never want that art to die. So with us, we learn those things. He can teach us everything now. He might be 55, 54 years old. He's still coming in and kick our ass in the ring, you know, if we go up with him. But, you know, he don't have no design. Ken's biggest thing was always to push us guys and make us a way better, you know. I enjoyed talking to you, Gene. I just wanted to clarify, if I miss anybody's name out there, that sponsored me in this little campaign, I'm sorry. I just had a lot on my mind, a lot to think about, a lot to talk about, you know, and I just forgot you, you know.
Well, hey, but I appreciate you coming on. I enjoyed talking with you. Before we go, though, if there's anybody out there listening right now that wants to know how to contact Matt Justice, be it for bookings or they just like to discuss philosophies on the business with you or whatever, let them know how they can go about contacting Matt Justice.
You can contact me on Facebook, MattJustice.com. It's MattJustice.com, Facebook. You can contact me on Twitter at MattJustice, MattJustyceDME, or, nah, I ain't going to give you my number because too many girls that love the main attraction and they'll be calling me, and my phone, Gene, will be ringing like your radio show. They'll be on the hook.
I hear you, man. Well, hey, thanks for coming on, man. Best of luck to you, and keep in touch with us and let us know how it goes.
I will, and look, and I'm glad you told me about Memphis Monroe. Tell Memphis Monroe, thumbs up too. I like him. I honestly do. I like the guy.
I'll let him know. He will greatly appreciate it.
All right, Gene. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Bye. All right, there he was, Matt Justice. Like I said, center of controversy here recently, and. Whether you like some of the things he said or not, I think he did a pretty good job explaining himself today, and I think he makes a point. And, you know, whether you agree with all of it or not, I think for the most part, he's trying to make a change, and Lord knows it's needed in these parts. So good luck to him. I hope it works out for him. So before we go away, though, we got to mention a few sponsors here. Of course, WrestlingNewsCenter.com. Check out WrestlingNewsCenter.com daily for news stories, results, columns, upcoming events, and much, much more. Everything you need to keep informed about the world of professional wrestling is there every day at WrestlingNewsCenter.com. Are you a wrestler needing T-shirts printed to sell at your shows? Or do you have a baseball or softball team in need of T-shirts? Or whatever reason anyone would need T-shirts printed, Main Event Screen Printing can get the job done for you. Contact Will Owens today, and he will get the best possible price on screen printing. UltimateNWA@charter.net. And make sure you tell him Gene Jackson sent you from the Locals to Legends Wrestling Radio Show. Also, Bomberware. High-quality pro wrestling gear made by the Bomber Jack Lord. Tights, trunks, singlets, masks, you name it, and Jack Lord can make it happen. He does some high-quality gear. You can contact him at BomberJackLord@gmail.com. Or you can find him on Facebook at facebook.com/BomberJackLord. Even if you can't work like a pro, you can at least look like one with bomber wear. Pro South Wrestling in Piedmont, Alabama is going to return this Friday night, May the 2nd. Of course, Pro South is at 627 Southern Avenue in Piedmont, Alabama. In action this week, you're going to see the heavyweight champion, Big Toon, with his manager, Gene Jackson. Jed Johnson will be there, the last hero, Ace Haven, along with Amy Haven, Drew Games, Scott Aries, Charles Zanders, Kyle Matthews will be returning, the Jump Around Gang, Damian Saratone, and James Hardy. Might even see Jimmy Rave turn up again. Who knows? Doors open at 6 p.m. Bell time is at 7. Tickets are only $8. No reserves. First come, first serve, so get there early. Get your seats. Kids 4 and under are free. And just want to mention real quickly, OWO Wrestling is going to be returning to Amory, Mississippi at the East Amory Community Center on July the 11th. That's a Friday night, July the 11th. Superstar Bill Dundee will be there. More names to be added soon. And I also want to mention real quick, after the successful show in Sylacauga, the League of Extraordinary Wrestlers are going to be coming to iPay-Per-View for the Invasion of the Uber Mention. It's going to be in Jasper, Tennessee, July 26. We'll have a lot more info about that one as it gets closer. So, also check out, coming soon, we're going to have a special guest on the show, Mr. Good grief, I just blanked out completely here. I'm going to be having Tony Givens. Tony Givens, the promoter of NWA Smoky Mountain over in Kingsport, Tennessee. He's written an e-book, and it is Promoting Pro Wrestling 101. It's an excellent book, and I'm going to have him on here to talk about that and talk about some other things, talk about his show, Smoky Mountain. We'll also talk about his controversial You're Not Getting Booked websites. So stay tuned for that one. Also coming up soon, we'll be talking to Eric Wayne. He got mentioned a couple times in today's interview. We're going to have Eric on here, talk to him. And we'll also very soon have a series of Pro South interviews with a number of different wrestlers from the Pro South promotion. So check out all that coming soon. It will be announced on the Facebook page very shortly. Once again, thank you for listening. Thank Matt Justice for being on today, and have a good one. ¶¶
Thank you.